This is Dennis Michelson. Welcome to the Data Lab here on For Frequency's Sake. This is where all of the data and all of the numbers get crunched to make you a better fantasy football player. And here's the great news. You can suck at math. You can suck at science. We're doing all the heavy lifting for you to make you a better fantasy football player by using the scientific method here in fantasy football. And joining me here on the Data Lab, as he does each and every week, he is the professor. It's John Bush. John, welcome back.
Hey, Dennis. This is our last dance before the big, big show. So we really need to beat some wins this week. Everybody is going to be needing wins, and me as well, and I'm sure you. So this week on the Data Lab, I was kind of pontificating, I know it's a big word, about skills and your diary and things I've been preaching about. And I think this part of the season, think about where we've come. Week one, what have we discovered from week one, you know, kind of a slap in the face of what we thought in our drafts, right? So we had some opinions, and they radically, in some cases, changed week one. And here we are, week 14. Every week, we've learned a little bit. We've built onto the story. We've seen the journeys of the players, the teams, the saga, the heartbreak, the injuries, things that, you know, it's just a regular season. You know, I make it sound like some type of melodrama, but we go and change our skill sets, I think. In drafts, it hits me that we're very broad. And I think that things like a consistency, things like overview of what the team wants to do, all their rookies and their, you know, who they kept, who they added, who they, you know, took away, you know, kind of like carving it off a little bit and adding pieces. And we made some thinking, you know, conclusions and concepts based on that. Then we started every week learning kind of a different skill set. Every week we're now to the team, to the position. And I'll give you an example. This week we're really trying to figure out what's going on in Seattle with the running backs. Tony Jones, you know, Homer, is anybody else going to play? and we're trying to figure out what we should do. Should we go out and pick one up? So very focused fine-tuning. So in your diary, I think you ought to keep track of those kind of things and see, are you good at the fine-tuning of your game versus the drafting? I mean, I think overall, if you make the playoffs, pretty much that's probably saying you drafted pretty good. Yeah, I mean, if you have 10 teams, you only got in one playoff, then that's not good, right? So we're wanting 60, 70, 80% of the playoffs. That's kind of this big range. And, you know, anytime I can get above 50, I'm happy, but love to get closer to 60 to 80% playoffs. So those are things to consider as well. So in your diary, on the, you know, my advice on the Data Lab, before I give you my secret stuff, is update that. Think about where you've gone. Think about then what we need to do for the playoffs and the skills that you're going to need to survive. And I'm sure Dennis has lots to say about all these topics.
Yes, and here's where your diary sort of changes as you become a more advanced player in fantasy football. So one of the things that I track over the years, and it's a little more subtle of a thing to track, but it's tendencies of coaches when they lose a big player and go to the second and third string running backs. So the question is, okay, here in my diary, the average coach, when he has a stud running back that he's using 70% of the touches on or more, what does he do when he has to bring in a replacement? Typically, that upper floor or the upper ceiling of the volume drops down. So in other words, if he's a 70-30 mix most of the time, now when he goes to his backup, unless you have a backup like Samaje Perine or Alexander Mattison, who has proved themselves in that role, those guys will get pretty close to the same volume as the starter. But the lesser running backs, instead of getting 70% of the touches, they might be lucky to get 40% of the touches. So in other words, instead of having a two-way split, 70-30, now you might have a three-headed monster splitting the volume 40-40-20. This happens so often in fantasy football. It shows up in the points because typically a replacement level running back scores only 60 to 65% of the points of a top echelon. I'm talking top 15 running back in fantasy football. And the reason, if you dive down to that next level, it's all about the volume. Instead of getting 20 to 25 carries like the stud running back does, they're lucky if they're getting 10 to 12 carries each and they're splitting the load. Every once in a while, you'll start to see that load shift. So it'll be the hot hand kind of guy. But at the very beginning of that Seattle game, I expect to see Travis Homer, if he's healthy, and Tony Jones splitting the series. One guy starts one series, one guy starts the other series. And I wouldn't be surprised to see some of DJ Dallas coming off the bench, maybe for specialty roles like third down for Tony Jones. So by doing that, you'll split the load. Now let's all of a sudden say that one of these guys has a really good, strong carry or two. Now he's likely to maybe pick up an additional series going forward. But you always have to temper your expectations. Unless it is a proven backup like Perine or Mattison, where they have stepped right in and they picked up that same level as we saw with Mixon out the last 2 weeks, Perine has gotten the volume. When Cook misses a game, Madison gets the volume. But in Seattle this week, I don't think they're going to get the volume. I think it's going to be a three-headed split, much like we saw at times with Kansas City this year, where, you know, CEH was no longer the dominant guy. They were using him. They were using Pacheco. They were using McKinnon, just trying to see what would work in that backfield. And that three-headed monster drop the value of everybody. So that's what I kind of think we'll see in Seattle. And the only reason I have a good confidence in saying that is because I've seen what happens when the starter goes out in the past for them.
And, you know, it just hits me when you're discussing that. Look at how much you have on precision on what you're saying versus way back when with Seattle in the draft. We were thinking Rashad Penny, maybe Walker. You know, our scenario for Seattle has morphed along the way, and we've lost Penny, and now Walker's hurt. So the skill that you started with, really, you know, Seattle's one where, we ended up completely different than what we were thinking. So you're going to have to accept that from the draft point of view, going in through the season, and you're going to have to shift. So that's when I said those two types of skills. In other words, picking Penny, but knowing Walker could potentially take over, is one conclusion, and that's interesting. You should have put that down. And Walker did take over, but Penny got hurt. So I think just when you write some of your conclusions about things, just kind of temper, you know, boy, I sure was smart to pick Walker. Well, Penny got hurt. And would Walker have been as dominant if Penny was still there? Would it have been 60-40? That kind of thing. So just kind of note the big picture, and then how good are you week to week in your thinking? Dennis has kind of spun a scenario, which I hope that you, the listeners, are working towards, because you should be able, probably with fingertip knowledge now, if you're paying attention, be able to create that scenario. This seems the most likely scenario, and behave accordingly. If Saquon doesn't play, then it's probably Breida, maybe Brightwell. So again, you're having, is it 60-40? Is it hot hand? Is it 80-20? You know, what are we having? And should you, you know, in a deep bench, you might pick up Breida, and in a couple of places, I'm actually picking him up. We have two waiver runs Wednesday and Sunday morning in the leagues I play, the FFPC. So I'm planning to pick up in a few leagues Breida if he's out there. So those are the kind of skills that have nothing to do with how you might have drafted, say, Saquon. You might not have even picked up Breida. You know, there at some point, you have to make that decision as well. And just in your diary, put it down. I'm not picking Breida up because, and just spell it out. Were you right or wrong?
And here's the thing is, I will often go into a league, and it, when I'm bidding on a player in free agency, and when there is an injury situation like Barkley, and I will go ahead and I'll say, okay, I think Breida's the guy, so I'll put $30 of my money on him. But if I don't win the Breida battle, I'll have maybe $5 on Brightwell. And that's not saying that I'm uncertain, but I guess it is, actually. Because I'm showing my uncertainty by saying, hey, I'll grab one or the other. Because the backup to the backup is sometimes the guy to own anyway. Because, hey, Breida could go down with an injury as well. Yes. In best ball leagues, I'm grabbing as much Brightwell as I can if I didn't get Breida. Because I don't have to make a decision on who to start. And if Breida goes out there and he's either lousy or he fumbles, or he gets hurt, now I got Brightwell. It's just covering all of the options that can possibly happen. Because guess what, folks? Even if you're the most knowledgeable fantasy football player in the world, you really, unless you're coaching that team, and, you know, if I was coaching the New York Giants, and I also had a fantasy football team using the Giants running backs, I'd be a little more sure of who's going to get the load this week. But since I'm not the coach and Brian Daboll is, there's always going to be uncertainty involved in fantasy football. And the way you hedge your bet on that is to have a little bit of everything. So, Professor, I understand. Yeah. Well, the dogs are getting so excited. That must mean the secret sauce is just around the corner.
Yeah, they're wanting a lick or a taste here. So Data Lab wouldn't be Data Lab without some data, right? So, Dennis, I'm sharing the screen. And this material that I'm talking about is already out in the snaps report at scienceoffantasyfootball.com. What a great place. Dennis and I like it anyway. And please visit it. I try, there's numbers there, but I try to put annotation and colorization to kind of make it clear, kind of the good and the bad of whatever data I'm showcasing. And I even try to put a graph so you can look at it. So if you love graphs and visual, I got that there as well. Being a college professor, you know, some students really are into tables and minutia. Some kids love the visuals. So I call them kids. To me, as old as I am, they're all kids. Anybody under 30 is a kid to me. Anyway, so I've got some data that I've been talking about, efficiency data. And it was really interesting. If you'll go and listen to my, and if you want to, Vegas versus the Rams. And basically what I had concluded, Vegas had been declining. How about that? And the Rams have actually been improving. And I actually remember saying that. And I guess, you know, I was thinking, you know, this could be closer, and I think I mentioned that. You know, you never know if Baker Mayfield, you know, I didn't predict that by any means, but I just knew that the team itself had been improving. And if you'll look, Dennis, look at the Rams, 1.1 in difference. Their last 3 weeks have been about 10% better than the season total, but Vegas has been 11% below their seasonal. So the last 3 weeks have been kind of sad, and they've been losing it a little bit. And so you can look at this data in the snaps, and you can see what I'm thinking. So this week for our data lab, you're going to be surprised at this. I love Pittsburgh. Green Bay is, of course, on by. Indianapolis, I think, is on by. Miami, Jacksonville, Houston, folks, and Detroit. And again, what does this say? This says they're getting better. It doesn't mean they were great and they're getting greater than great. It just means they're getting better. So people may underestimate somebody like Houston a little bit. Sometimes, and they're switching quarterbacks. If you remember what Philadelphia, Houston played Philadelphia pretty good for a lot of the game. They just, you know, kind of flopped in the end because Philly's Philly. But Houston, you know, people are saying Dallas is going to just run over them so bad. You know, Houston may put up some more numbers than you think. And there's some opportunities with the wide receivers this week in Houston. So just an example. The declining teams, Chicago, Tampa Bay, Jets, New Orleans, New England, Carolina, Baltimore, and those are the declining teams. It doesn't mean they'll lose this week. It doesn't mean the improving teams will win. It just gives you a way to start measuring and thinking. So, Dennis, got comments on that before I show the secret
stuff? Yeah, I'm looking at this and I'm saying in best ball, if I can add players like we can on our best ball dynasty team, I'm looking to see if Philip Dorsett is available for the Houston Texans.
Well, yeah, Dorsett and I guess who is it? Moore?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about Moore, but here's why I like Dorsett. Before last week, okay, so Cooks and Collins were still on the field. Dorsett played 46 offensive snaps, and that was an increase.
Here's the data, that was an increase
from the week before. So I look at that and I say, that's the guy that I want because I'm looking at the increase in snaps, okay? I'm not just plus 20 versus Moore was pretty even. Moore's been kind of that third guy that they've they've tried to put out there, and he just hasn't really performed all that well. Dorsett hasn't been getting a lot of use, and now all of a sudden he is. He was getting a lot of use the last time. Look at the last time Cooks and Collins were out. He got 46 yep. snaps, and he was kind of the leader yep. there on the team. So yep. I'm looking at Dorsett as being a guy who could potentially have a better week mm-hmm. than we're thinking. If I need an emergency mm-hmm. replacement, I'm going to take a shot because they're switching back to Mills at quarterback. Damian Pierce yep. cannot run all game against Dallas. You're going to have to mix it up a little bit. But, yeah, I'll take a shot at Dorsett this week because somebody's got to catch the ball.
Somebody's got to do it. Okay, good job. So you can take a look at the snaps. You can take a look at the patterns and notice Dennis drilled down. But it's nice to start with your salad, right? Your appetizer. And I think the efficiency metrics, and that's why I put them at the beginning. It is a beginning. You know, it's setting the flavor profile. There's a good one. That's good. Flavor profile of your team this week. And it just kind of, you want to be with the teams that are improving more than declining. Okay. And Dennis, this is, unless you've looked ahead, which you may have cheated. we don't like students to cheat. Here is in one table, I capture all the metrics of the home away efficiency splits. I do rushing tendencies at home, passing tendencies, and here's the new wrinkle this week, red zone attempts, home versus away wow. splits. So now, and the team that's at home, I actually colorized in orange. So now in one table, you can see what each team does and how biased they are at home and what they might do this week. And look at Detroit. Detroit's at home, and they are heavily biased to the home, and they love to pass at home. 17% above average, and they don't rush as much, about 14% below when they're away. They actually flip the script. They run more away and pass less, and you and I had this discussion. And their red zone attempts are 20% higher at home. So passing touchdowns at home. Detroit's looking really good. I don't know if they'll beat Minnesota, but, you know. And if you look at Minnesota, and this is how you look at it, Minnesota loves its home, but we're not at home. And Minnesota rushes less and away and passes 12% more than in away games. So Minnesota figures a lot more passing. So I'm playing my feeling shares, but, and check it out. They actually are 15% better at red zone attempts away than at home even. So they might dominate at home and don't need to have as much red zone, I guess. I don't know what that stat means, but so that's how you can break the games apart like that and make some predictions, especially deep flex. Buffalo this week is at home. They are the top home bias team at 1.92. Anything above one is a bias towards home. They're almost twice the league average. They love home. And they tend to pass a little more, but they're a little bit more balanced. But look at the red zone at home, Dennis. One of the highest in the league, 1.4, wow. 40%. Better than away as far as red zone attempts. So they're going to give you lots of goodies. And so you can look at all this. And Dennis, there's so much goodness in this one table that's in my snaps. And I know that you're going to love this. And I got a surprise for you in our other podcast when we talk squirrel and husky. I actually have now included this information in a snapshot when we look at our squirrel and husky games in our Science of Fantasy Football podcast. And Dennis is quiet because he's pattern searching.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Dennis, wake up. We're doing our show here. Is this good
love
or what?
These patterns. The Detroit-Minnesota game is one I've been drooling about playing as many players from that as I can.
Play those wide receivers.
The Buffalo game, I'm a little bit worried because of some snow coming to Buffalo, but it's not going to be like measured in feet this time, like when they had to switch to playing at Detroit. It's just going to be a heavy, wet snow that could glop up the game a bit, but probably not slow them down very big because the wind doesn't look like it's going to be much more than about 15 miles an hour. So it's going to be close to being strong enough to be a factor. But yes, head on over to the scienceoffantasyfootball.com. Check out all this data because
in the snaps report.
And also check out the Science of Fantasy Football podcast where we break down more of those Sunday games. And, of course, head on back next week for another edition of the Data Lab here on For Frequency's Sake.
We'll be talking playoffs. Yay!